Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. And I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So about 5 months ago, I was talking with someone in the church and they asked me, "Have you ever thought about doing any kind of doctoral work?" I said, "Well, yeah, I have. I mean, it's actually something I've been really interested in for a while now, for the past couple of years, but the timing has never quite been right. It's hard with three young kids and everything else that's going on." And this person said, "Well, I would encourage you to think about it. I think it could be good for you. It could be good for the church." And so I did think about it. I started thinking. I started going online and looking at seminaries and the programs that they offer. And I found a program at a Presbyterian seminary in Pittsburgh that really interested me. But I was still a little hesitant because it was a serious time commitment, a lot of work on top of being a full-time pastor of a church and a husband and father, all of this. I didn't know if it was something I would be able to do. It kept coming up in conversations with people, though. I'd say, "You know, I've been looking at this. I've been thinking about this. I just don't know, though." And the answer always came back, "You should do this. It sounds like something that really interests and excites you, and the timing is never going to be any easier than it is right now." And after hearing that several times, I thought, "All right, let's check this out. Let's learn a little more and see about this." So I scheduled a conversation with the director of the doctoral program at Pittsburgh Seminary. This was in September. And the next program, the academic year, didn't start until June. So I thought, I've got plenty of time to kind of discern this, figure out if this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I talked to the director of the program, and he said to me, "Well, the specific program that you're looking at, it started this past June, and we're not going to start another one until 2019. So you could wait until then, or you could just get started in January and make up those classes you missed later." And I kind of thought, January is a little sooner than I had anticipated doing any of this. I think I need to talk to my wife at this point. So I thought, let's talk about it. Let's explore this. Let's see. And the next thing I know, I have been accepted, and I'm starting in January. Tomorrow. Actually, I drive out to Pittsburgh tomorrow. So I was really excited about this. After I first find out I'm getting accepted, I'm really excited. I can't wait to get started. And then I got the syllabi for the first two classes that I'm going to be taking. And it was like, I have to read how many books before January? And write how many papers? I mean, it's not like I had anything else going on at the time. It was just Christmas, right? I was going to have to read a book every week for 10 weeks to get up to speed, and we're talking like 300-page dense theological text. A book every week for 10 weeks just to get up to speed, because I was late getting started. All the other people in this class have already started it a couple of months ago. And so I start thinking, what have I gotten myself into? Am I really supposed to be doing this? Now, obviously, I stuck with it, and I got it all done. But that question is, I think, a larger question that we have all asked ourselves and struggled with at some point, I mean, we heard Soon talking about it this morning. Is this what I am supposed to be doing? I don't know if I can do this. How do I know if this is the right thing? How do I know what I'm supposed to be doing? It's a question we ask ourselves with jobs, with school, picking what college to go to, with who we're going to marry, where we're going to live, with health decisions, with all these other aspects of our lives. How do I know what I'm supposed to do? How do I know that this is the right thing? And as Christians, we ask a more specific form of that question. Is this what God is calling me to do? The idea being that as followers of Jesus, we strive to actually follow Jesus, to live our lives according to the will of God rather than our own wills. That God wants specific things for us, wants us to do specific things in life. And our challenge is to listen for the voice of God and discern what God is calling us to do. So how do we do that? How do we know that this is what God is calling us to do, and not just what we want to do or what someone else wants us or expects us to do? This is a question that we see playing out in our scripture readings for today. The story of Samuel starts off by telling us that Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, but that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. So the people of Israel didn't have a lot of practice discerning God's call at that time. God wasn't doing much calling. In fact, it says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord when God spoke to him. I mean, think about that for a minute. Samuel has spent his whole life, from the time that he was born, living and serving in the temple. And he did not know God. But Eli did. And so when God calls Samuel's name, Samuel thinks it's Eli calling him. I mean, Eli perceived that God was calling him. And he told Samuel how to respond. Maybe the word of the Lord was rare in those days because people didn't know how to listen for it. And maybe that's the same problem that we face today. We need people in our lives who can guide us in that and teach us how to listen for God's voice in our lives, how to respond to it. Discerning God's call is not something that we are meant to do on our own. It's meant to be done in relationship, in community. It's why we're here together, so that we can help one another discern God's presence and calling in this world and in our lives, so that those who know the Lord can walk with those who do not. Help guide them in this. So that when we're faced with this question of how do I know what God is calling me to do, we don't have to figure that out by ourselves. We can share it with others and discern God's call together. Like when I was discerning this call to the doctoral program and I'm talking to other people and they're saying, yeah, you should think about this more, you should do this. That helped guide me in the discernment process. So this is also what we see happening in our reading from John. Jesus goes to Galilee, he finds Philip, and he says to him, follow me. Now, Philip didn't know Jesus. At least it doesn't tell us that he did. But it says that Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, whom Jesus had just called right before this. So Philip didn't know Jesus, but he knew a couple of people who did. Philip then goes to Nathanael and says to him, we have found him about whom Moses and the prophets wrote, Jesus from Nazareth. And Nathanael says to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, come and see. He helps guide him in this process of discernment and teaches him how to respond. Come and see. How to open himself up to the presence and calling of God. So Nathanael goes to see. And when he does, Jesus sees him and says, now here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And I love Nathanael's response here. I think it's a very 21st century American response. He says to Jesus, where'd you get to know me from? You don't know my life. You don't know who I am. But the thing is, Jesus did. Before Nathanael knew Jesus, Jesus knew Nathanael. Before Samuel knew the Lord knew Samuel. And that's the thing for us too. Before we know God, God knows us. Before we are even aware of God's presence and calling in our lives, God is at work in us and among us, claiming us, calling us. Even if we don't know how to hear that voice yet, God's call to us is not about our knowledge of God. It's about God's knowledge of us. I've shared with you before the story of when I was in college and I was first discerning God's call to go to seminary and become a pastor, but I really wasn't sure if that's what I was supposed to do. I was having a lot of hesitation because I didn't feel like I knew enough about the Bible or about faith or like I was holy enough, whatever that means. So I remember going one night to my best friend, Colin, and I told him about this thing that I'd been feeling. I said, you know, I think that God wants me to go to seminary and become a pastor, but that can't be right because I'm that's not me. I mean, like, I'm not prepared enough to do this. I had all these reasons why this wasn't right. And he said to me, God will give you everything you need to do what God is calling you to do. And that was all I needed. I went to him because I felt like while I didn't know enough about the Lord, I knew that he did. And he helped guide me in that process by reminding me that it's not about me knowing God or me being prepared enough. It's about God knowing me and giving me what I needed. Last week, in talking about the baptism of Jesus, I said that baptism marked the beginning of Jesus' ministry and that it marks the beginning of ours. Now, we're so used to thinking about ministry in terms of professional ministry, like becoming pastors. But that is only one form of the ministry that God calls us to. We are all called to minister to others in some way, whether it is through your job or through your church, in your school, in your neighborhood, your family, your friends, or to a complete stranger. We are all called to some kind of ministry and service to others in the name of Jesus Christ, to walk with others and use the gifts that God has given us in ways that convey the love and forgiveness and healing and peace and justice of God. So how do we discern that ministry, what God is calling us to? Years ago, I remember a member of the church I was pastoring gave me a piece of paper that I am now giving to you. It's an insert in your bulletin. So if you want to pull this out and take a look at it, I know it's a little difficult to read, but I wanted to give it to you in this person's handwriting. So the way that I received it, I wanted you to be able to see that too. I thought that was kind of cool. So this person gave me a sheet of paper. She had been looking through her father's Bible. Her father had died years before, and she pulled his Bible out one day and was flipping through it when she comes across this piece of paper tucked away in his Bible. And on it, her father had outlined 11 steps that helped him discern God's voice in his life. I mean, what an amazing gift to receive from your father years after he has died. So first, he says, God's voice is consistent with God's word. God's word is given to us in Scripture, God's written word, and also in Jesus Christ, God's word made flesh. So God's word, God's calling to you, will be consistent with what we see in Scripture and in the life of Jesus, which makes it very important for us to study both of those. Second, God's voice may conflict with human reason. It doesn't always make sense, this thing that God is calling us to do. Like Zoom explained so well earlier, go to Canada? I've never been to Canada. I don't know anyone in Canada. It doesn't make sense. It may clash with our human nature. That's third. It may challenge our faith. That's fourth. It may call for courage. Fifth. God calls us to a different way of life in which we have to step out from what comes naturally and easily to us. Sixth, God's call in our life requires the consideration of others. It is never simply God's call to me. God's call is always For me, as I am in relationship with others, it affects my wife, my children, all of you. And God's call to you affects this whole network of people in your life. So we have to take that into consideration. How is this going to impact others? Seventh, it may require patience. Yeah. We need to say any more about that? Or is that pretty self-explanatory? Eighth, discerning God's call requires the consideration of consequences. What's going to happen if you do this? What's going to happen to you, to the people around you? That shouldn't necessarily stop you from doing it, but you at least need to be mindful and aware of those consequences. What is this going to bring about? Ninth, it may advise seeking wise counsel. This is what we saw in Samuel and Nathaniel. You are not in this alone. Find someone who knows God, who can walk with you and help guide you in discerning God's will. Tenth, God's call in our lives produces spiritual growth. And the thing is, this is not just something that happens at the end of the whole process, once you've completed all these steps. The process is the spiritual growth. Because when you are studying God's word, stepping out in faith, loving and considering others, when you are exercising patience and seeking wise counsel, you are growing spiritually. Those things are not a means to an end. They are the end in and of themselves. And finally, God's calling in our lives yields peace. Maybe not right away. Maybe not even in this life. But this life is not all there is. God's call in your life may lead you to situations of tremendous conflict. The challenge is, can you face those situations with the assurance that God is with you, giving you everything you need, and thus be at peace, even in the midst of conflict? Tomorrow, we remember and celebrate the life of Martin Luther King Jr. And I'm reminded of a story he told about a time when he was discerning God's call in his life. It was January 27th, 1956. The Montgomery bus boycott had just started about a month before that, and King had just stepped into this unexpected role as a leader in the civil rights movement. He was receiving up to 40 death threats a day. A day! He had just come home from a very long, exhausting, stressful day and received another death threat on the phone while his family was asleep. He describes it this way. He says, "I was ready to give up. With my cup of coffee sitting untouched before me, I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing a coward. In this state of exhaustion, when my courage had all but gone, I decided to take my problem to God. With my head in my hands, I bowed over the kitchen table and prayed aloud. The words I spoke to God that midnight are still vivid in my memory. I am here taking a stand for what I believe is right. But now I am afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I'm at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone." At that moment, he said, "I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never experienced God before. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, 'Stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and God will be at your side forever.' Almost at once, my fears began to go. My uncertainty disappeared, and I was ready to face anything." When we open ourselves up to hearing God's voice, regardless of what that voice is calling us to do, we will know that we are not doing it alone. That God is with us, and that we are with each other. And that in God and in each other, we have everything we need to do what God is calling us to do.